Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Raise your hand in the back if you can't hear me. Okay. You can do it now? Yeah. First question is what? What do I usually ask you? How many have prayed for me? Raise your hand. Okay. For those that did, put your hand down if you did. For those who didn't pray for me, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you didn't pray. Okay, so if I mess up, it's your fault. Do you pray for your pastor on Saturday? Because, you know, he's just a man, right? And he needs your support. Even Moses needed people to hold up his hand. And when they, I don't want to hold my hands up because the old man, kind of flabby. But when Moses held his hand, when they held Moses' hand up, they had victory. When they held his hands up, we need to hold up our pastor. And it's so funny to me that it's really interesting that it's so easy to complain about the pastor where we could be praying for the pastor. He didn't tell me to tell you this, but I just, you know, wanted to put a commercial plug. You know, it's not his ministry, it's your ministry. He's the leader. So we need to support the leader. And let's do this. Let's have a moment of prayer. And if we would pray in our own hearts quietly where we're sitting, and then I'll interrupt you and say amen. Just pray for the pastor and pray for me. Amen. I should have had you do it Solomon Island style. Are you familiar with prayer in Solomon Island style? I did it with my wife. I'm a loud guy, and Pastor Roy Funo is loud, and I'm standing here, and my wife's here, and Pastor Roy Funo's here. Island style prayer is you all pray out loud at the same time. Their philosophy is that God can hear, even though it might be distracting to you, that God can hear all of us. So I'm real loud praying, and Ray, and my wife is like, she's from Germany. She says, how do I get out of here? And so I didn't make you do it that way. You'll see in front of you a thing I call my Discipler magazine. And it's really not a magazine. It's just kind of a newsletter. And we're going to go through this. And if you look at it, if you open it up, you'll see that this famous writer wrote an article, Warren Polly, and if you could read that, and as you turn the page, you'll see his picture, and the whole emphasis of discipleship ministry is that one of the things I really appreciate is that we were praying for the children so that our ministry affects their ministry, which affects their ministry. And so Warren Polly wrote that article, and the next thing you see is this track. This is a Bill Newman track. And I talked to Bill Newman now in April on the Gold Coast. We have the Commonwealth Games. There'll be 2.5 million people there, plus the 100,000 that live on the Gold Coast, plus the 100,000 that go to the beach to get sand in their bathing suit and get a sunburn. And so what I'm going to do during those 2 weeks in April, I'm going down there and we're going to pass out these tracts. My ministry has now become Good News Guys. I'm no longer, in the past, I was, it's a long sentence, full-time salary staff with the Navigators. Now they've retired me, and I'm associate staff. All of the money that goes to the Navigators goes to the ministry. None of that now goes to my personal needs. But the ministry hasn't changed, and the expenses haven't changed. So now we're doing this emphasis. It's called the Good News Guys. And you know that we're all Good News Guys. The reason I got it, I was remember hearing preaching, Bill Newman preaching. He said, aren't we the Good News Guys? And you all are the Good News Guys. Turn to the person on your left and right and tell them, you're a Good News Guy. There's so much bad news. There's so much bad news that you're hearing all the time. And there's hurt and there's harm. And there's frustration, but we got the good news. Isn't that wonderful? that Ram got the good news. Why would God give Ram the good news? Why would God die for Ram? I know the guy. I wouldn't have died on the cross for him. But I'm glad he didn't take my advice. And so we have the good news. The next one, if you turn the next track, you'll see, is the Come to Jesus track. This is Warren, Polly, and Stu. By the way, Stu would have come here, but the baby's sick. And so he sends his greetings. So this is a track they produced. I've been handing this out on Queen Street, and it's been received real well. Then the next thing you have is the Authority of the Believer Hand. It's done by Bill Newman. Please take it. Put it in your Bible as a Bible marker. And when you look at it, think of me and my ministry. The next thing you'll see is my ministry notes. It's called Proclaim Christ. These are my ministry notes. Warren says that a lot of times when I preach, I get off the subject. So now you have the sermon I should have preached. And then the last thing is a challenge. You'll see this. You'll see this. And it says, a plan for the New Testament in the next 90 days. What's 90 days from now? Right? If you read three chapters in the New Testament, within 90 days, you'll read the whole New Testament. So I'm challenging you to read three chapters a day, and you can mark it off on this, and within 90 days, you'll have read the whole New Testament. Let me ask you this question. How many brought your Bible? Raise your hand. Good. I went to some churches, they don't bring their Bible anymore.
What?
The other thing is, how many here have read the whole Bible? Raise your hand. Amen. And there's a guy back in America, they used to call him Mr. Bible, and he argued that every believer ought to read the Bible from cover to cover for every year they were alive. And so what is that? What am I, 73 now? 71. And I keep my wife around to tell me how old I am. I think I'm still 18, and I look in the mirror, and there's this old guy. And, hey, there's somebody in the house. So I should be able to say that I read the Bible 71 times. And I don't want to be legalistic about it, but it's just a challenge. There's a lot of good stuff in the Word, in the Scripture. It's good to read it, to get through it, to study it. Now, let me tell you about the good news, guys. You want to do the next verse? Okay, that's our theme verse. It's Colossians 1:28 and 29. And it says, so naturally we proclaim Christ, we warn everyone we meet, we teach everyone we can all we know about Him, so that if possible, we may bring every man into his full maturity in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm working at all the time with all the strength God gives me. And so to do that, we've been out on Queen Street. Since we've started doing the ministry, we've had 50,000 encounters. I usually go on an average and usually pass out 300 tracts. And in the process of those 300 tracts, God generates about 5 to 6 good conversations. And then I share Jesus with them. And God does funny things. I remember this one time I passed a tract and the guy said, you know. And so the next guy that went by and I said, you know that he said, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, because he heard this American and he felt sorry for me. And he says, oh, let me receive one. And I said, so I gave it to him. And he says, you know what that's about? And I was able to share my testimony and the gospel with him. So the guy who, me, actually worked out to God's advantage so that I could witness to the other guy. And that sometimes we don't see how God's working. And the Holy Spirit doesn't, you know that you can't put the Holy Spirit in a dog cage? You can't put him on a chain in a doghouse. He's going to do whatever he wants. And sometimes I see Christians like they think that they control the Holy Ghost. He's going to do whatever he feels like. Your job is just to submit and obey. And if you submit and you obey, what's the old song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust in the way. Have you ever noticed sometimes that you're not happy? Maybe your problem is in the answer of that verse. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So just trust him. Believe him. Take him at his word. And I thought it's interesting. Another story. I got fined $400 for passing out tracts in front of the Myers Center. $435 I got fined. Right? And they were going to take it to the court, Supreme Court. You know, I was just passing out these tracts. And so somebody suggested, well, take it to the Supreme Court. Don't let them push you around. And I started thinking, well, who am I? I'm not that important. And my wife was just kind of been frustrated with all the emails we were getting on this stuff. So I paid the $400. So what we did is we went to Elizabeth Street. Now, where we were was in front of the Myers Center. Right? And we were witnessing, and we were told we couldn't do that. So what we did is we went down the block, made a turn, walked over here, and went to Elizabeth Street. And so we're witnessing on Elizabeth Street. Elizabeth Street is behind the Myers Center. The Bible says if you go into a village and they reject you, go to another village. So in front of the Myers Center, I got fined $400, paid my fine. Then I guess that makes me a criminal. Now I got a record. You know, you see my wanted, click, 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 click. And maybe the picture should be with me holding a tract. So we went behind the Myers Center, and you know what I noticed? It's the same traffic flow. It's the same people. So they come this way, and then they turn this way, and they go down Elizabeth Street. So there I am. So if you don't let me do it in front of the Myers Center, I'll do it behind the Myers Center. So pray for me. It's been exciting. Are you familiar with, how many here are familiar with Arthur Stace? The Eternity Man? Right? You ought to, there's a lot of books about it right now. You ought to read about this guy. The guy was fantastic to me. He was illiterate. He was from a real rough background. And one day he wrote Eternity after hearing the sermon. And for 30-some years, he went early in the morning when nobody was around, and he wrote the word Eternity. And then in the change of the century, when the in Sydney Bridge, what did they have on there? Big lights. Eternity. And all he did was write the word eternity. God says to Arthur, says, Arthur, what do you have? He says, I have a piece of chalk. Well, go write the word eternity. David, what do you have? I have 5 smooth stones. We'll go kill the giant. Right? Samson, what do you have? I have the jawbone of a donkey. We'll kill the Philistines. What do we have? You need to ask yourself, what is it that God gave you that he wants you to use to his glory and honor? What is it? Well, use it. You know, he gave you a guitar, you know, and you're doing well. And he gave you young people. God gave you young people. We're all gray hairs, right? Right? I used to have a nice set of black hair when I first came to Australia, and Australians kicked the black out of me. But the young people, it's about them now. Psalm 78, 6 and 7. That the generation to come might know them, even the children who should be born, that they shall arise and declare unto their children that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God and keep his commandments. So it's our job now to pray for them that they will rise. Because somewhere in that group, there may be another Billy Graham. There may be another Arthur Stace. You know, we don't know what God has. And if we're praying for them, we have a tendency to do this. But I'm really off my sermon now. We have a tendency to do this. We're adults. Excuse me, I'm an adult. And then the little guy is running around. Now we forget that we used to be. So I am doing an adult thing, excuse me. And then we ignore them, but we don't realize that the hope of glory, Christ in me, the hope of glory, is to be invested in them. Because they get a chance to give God glory and honor. Slow down a little bit when they're noisy and their stuff. And because this is the next generation that God's going to bless them. We need to think about them. It's on us to do that. And so now that I'm way off my subject, let's see if I can get back. Could you do the next slide? No, the next one. I forgot about that. That's there you go. So this, now we have the hand illustration for the Bible. We have the hand illustration for the prayer, and Bill Newman's giving you the hand illustration for claiming authority. So I figured everybody else has a hand illustration. Well, what about the feet? So I decided to develop the foot illustration. And this is the foot illustration. And so let's do this. First of all, the big toe. Does it work out? Yeah, the big toe is the Holy Spirit. Are we familiar with Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8, it said, "You shall receive power. After this, the Holy Spirit has come unto you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost part of the earth." There's a lot of debate on what is it that, how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? And there's a lot of, well, you do this and you can do that, and that proves you have the Holy Spirit, right? What does that verse say? That if you have the Holy Spirit, the way to tell you have it is you're going to want to witness. "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me everywhere, all the time, whenever you get a chance." Do you like to talk about Jesus? Is it natural for you to do it? The next verse is the Holy Bible. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper where I send it." The Bible's guaranteed. We don't have to defend it. Hello? We don't have to defend it. We just have to use it. Right? I meet atheists when I'm witnessing on the street, and they give some good arguments. You know, this, and well, what about blah, 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 blah. And it's articulate and it's brilliant. By the way, to all the atheists in the world, I want to make a point. Satan was not an atheist. Satan was not an atheist. So these atheists come and they give me a good argument, and I listen to them. Now, I used to, when I was a young Christian, and I'm, you know, "Oh, yeah? You know, he's yelling, I'm yelling, we're both loud, we're spitting at each other, and nobody's hearing anything." I'm old now. I don't, you know, can't take the high blood pressure. So what I do is I just listen to them. And when they're done, I say, "You know, that's an interesting thought. Boy, you really thought that out. You're brilliant. So now what have I done?" Men have ego. They have pride. So you telling me smart, he's going to feel good about himself, and he'll listen to whatever else you have to say. I say, "Oh, that's a good argument." Then I tell him, "Let me tell you what happened in my life." And I tell him my testimony. I tell him what happens to me. And they sit there and they're quiet. And oftentimes these guys who were outrageous atheists, at the end of the conversation, they say, "Thank you. Thank you very much." And I leave them with my testimony. Because how do we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I have never met anybody when I shared my testimony who said to me, "You're lying. That never happened to you." Never. They say, "Thank you." Each one of us, I can't tell your testimony. Steve, you have a testimony that was invested by you, by God. That's yours. You can share that with anybody. Huh? Each one of us got power because we have the testimony. They overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. When it comes to the Bible, right, just use it. Believe it. Don't argue. Don't get caught in the Dead Sea Scrolls and all these. Anyway, let me say this one. I won't tell you to do it. This is what I found works for me effectively. The next toe is what? Jesus. Jesus in 12:32 says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." So what is my job? To lift them up. What's your job? Lift them up. Turn to the person on your left and right and say, "Lift them up." Because if we lift them up, what's he going to do? He's going to draw all men unto him. He's going to do the drawing. It's not my job. I don't even have to sweat. I used to believe, when I used to witness, I thought it was my job to convince them. You know, my heart rate got up and I was sweating and my voice got dry. It's not even my job. He's going to lift them up. He did to me. I was looking for LSD in 1965. A lot of times I share that with people, and they're young people, and I realize that some of their parents hadn't even met yet. But in 1965, I was living in New York City. I had $200 in my pocket. I went to get LSD. That's another thing. A lot of young people don't know what LSD is. They got their new drug nowadays. And I said, so I went to the party. Instead, I met a born-again Jew who was named Bob Hyman. And he shared Jesus with me. He was led to the Lord by a Japanese American who was led to the Lord by the Billy Graham Association. So Billy Graham, that's the whole principle of reproduction. Billy Graham led Bob Harry Lou, who led Bob Hyman, who talked to Ram. And I accepted Jesus when I was 18 years old. And then I share that with people. God has remained faithful all these years. I got saved when I was 18, and God is faithful. And even the atheists will go, I mean, it disarms them, you know. And so let Jesus draw them. The next verse is, by this time, it's hot, and you're getting, I notice sometimes when I preach, people are like, in the back row, it looks like they all agree. But then if you look from the pulpit, it looks like, so let me engage you. Let's do some scripture memory practice. Let's do John 3:16. We all know that, right? Do that with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse changed human history. Before that verse, people were dying, deprived, and going to go to hell. Look at human history. How do we tell human history? World War I, World War II, Korean War, this conflict, that conflict. Man can't do anything, right? Right? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And because God so loved the world, that's what makes me excited. We've had 50,000 encounters in witnessing, and it's so exciting. And by the time I get home, I'm exhausted and I'm tired. I'm falling apart. I got heat stroke yesterday, but it's like I can't drink caffeine anymore. I just found out I can't drink caffeine. I'm Puerto Rican. You know, caffeine is a major part of life, right? I can't drink caffeine, but when I go out there and witness, wow. We were witnessing the other day, and I just, Monica, I don't know if, we're going to go South Bank. And I was like this. And so even when I got out there, I was like, I got to do this. I got to be faithful. And I'm walking around like an old man. And I got to share the gospel with this guy. And I was, boy, like this energy, like lightning. And I was excited, And then I met with the other guys who were witnessing with, and I was preaching at them. And it was just so good to talk about Jesus. So good to talk about the positive things. Look, some of you are going to get mad at me, but that's okay. The pastors, one of my jobs, I'm a prophet. I don't tell the future, but I'm the one who annoys everybody. And so I come and I'll annoy you, and then you're glad when the pastor comes back. They say, well, you're not like Rand. So let me challenge you. I hear a lot of Christians talk about this marriage gay thing. And Christians, they're going to get married. They're going to have this ceremony. Hey, our job, don't worry about the ceremony. We need to get these people saved. We need to get them in the kingdom. They say, well, I was born gay. Well, I'm talking about be reborn. The new birth in Christ. We need to worry about their soul, not a ceremony. A couple of you are mad at me right now, but at least that'll keep you awake. So where are we going? Prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. How many here have family members who are not saved? Raise your hand. Right? Whose responsibility is to get them saved? Raise your hand again. But I don't know how to witness. All you have to do is love them. Live the Christian life in front of them. And pray. Pray for your aunt, your sister. You know the sister that you haven't got along with? Boy, she gets me so mad. I just want to pull my hair out. And she said, I remember when I was a kid. Right? Or the uncle or the son who is wayward. We need to go, us gray hairs, we need to hold them up in prayer. Jesus still loves them. We do mistakes. I don't know about you, but I make a lot of mistakes. And so we need to hold them up in prayer. And then Psalms 126, I don't have that memorized. I think I wrote it down here. Yeah, it says, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. How do I get joy in that verse? Look, write it down somewhere and look it up. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. Where does the joy come? It comes from sowing in tears. We need to sow in tears to get the joy. Don't ignore it. Don't live in denial. It says, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. It's not easy walking with God in a totally secular society. You know, Australia is, among the United Nations, is deemed as a non-Christian nation. Did you know that? In the United Nations, Australia is deemed as a non-Christian nation. You know what? What does that mean? If I want to be a missionary, I don't have to go anywhere. All I have to do is step outside. And what was that little, what was that restaurant that I saw? The one fellow was setting up the chairs out here. Lovely place called, what, Temptation by the Sea? And all I have to do is go get a cup of coffee and meet somebody and enjoy company with them, because I'm a missionary. So not only are you enjoying the coffee, you're also a missionary. How many here are missionaries? Raise your hand. Everybody ought to be raising their hand. We're all missionaries. Now, I do it for a living, but you ought to do it also every day. We need to share Jesus. Somebody, in 1965, before I met this born-again Jew, I considered suicide. I leaned on the subway stop and watched the cars go by, and I didn't want to fall and just break an arm, but I wanted to make sure I was dead. So I was considering it instead because of what Bob shared with me in Revelation 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with thee and he with me. And he told me, Bob said to me, you try Jesus. And if it doesn't work, come back and tell me. Man, he scared me to death. I had never met a Christian like that. Most Christians, in those days I had long hair. When I had long hair, it goes straight up. You know, everybody, all the other, you know, guys had blonde hair hanging down. Mine went up like a mountain, right? So I had long hair, and he says to me, try Jesus. Ask Jesus in your heart. And if he doesn't come back and tell me. So a lot of times Christians would tell me, join my church. Do this, wear a suit and tie. American Christians had this thing about a suit and tie. American Christians don't know about Aussie Christians. They pay a lot of money, $300 for a double vested jacket and a tie. There's no ties here, but you're still saved. So all of these churches would tell me to do this and that. And Bob said, just try Jesus. And I did. 2 weeks later, I almost committed suicide. I asked Christ to come on my heart, and he came in. And he's been faithful ever since. And he's faithful now. And, you know, so just share, memorize. Well, no, don't memorize a new verse. Just share John 3:16. Memorize, and then just go to your friend the next, you know, next time you have Easter or you have Christmas. Hey, can you, and write it down on a piece of paper. It says, Cousin Willie, you know Cousin Willie, he comes over and he gets drunk and spits and knocks things down, and he's such a pain in the neck. Well, Cousin Willie, say, Cousin, would you read that for me? I'm practicing memorizing the verse. Right? Well, then meanwhile, Isaiah 55:11 says that his word will not return void. So all you've done is you've quoted the verse. You might get uncomfortable. You might not quite do it right. But just use it. Don't defend it. Just use it. And let's see. It's a bit warm, so maybe we'll preach Puerto Rican style. When I come, you ought to have a, there ought to be a clock over there. I went to a church back in Mexico that the preacher preached so, listen to this, the preacher preached so long that they built next to the church a convenience store. No, this is true. And people would get up while the preacher's preaching and the acoustics went to the other place, and people would go over there and get themselves a soda, and they could still hear the sermon, drink their soda, and then come back. The preacher averagely preached for 2 hours. And so I won't do that to you. But I just want to challenge you. Pray for me, being that now I'm an associate NAV and all the finances. And by the way, I appreciate you guys support my ministry, and you've been supporting my ministry faithfully over these years. All of those people that I witness to, that I lead to the Lord, it's on your account. You know, in heaven, they're going to come over and say, excuse me. You don't know me, but Steve, when you supported Ram and he led me to the Lord on the street, it's a result of your ministry. So thank you for your ministry support. And I really want to challenge you to pray. You know what I noticed? We'll close with this. This morning, I'm thinking about the sermon, and I couldn't figure out where I ought to go. And God gave me this. And I'll close with this. It's just a challenge to pray. Please pray for me. Pray for the pastor. You know, prayer is a good thing. And I appreciate your prayer. She just really seems sincere. And okay. In the verse, it says, I can only help those that can let me. What hinders people from hearing the gospel? One of the things that hinder people from hearing the gospel is Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, for those on the wayside, then cometh the devil to take the word out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. This is what happens. The music, by the way, the music is getting much better. I'm really enjoying it. So you come, you hear the music, the pastor comes up and preaches, and he says something. You're sitting in your seat, and you're kind of like that, and all of a sudden the preacher says, you know, all of a sudden, that thing that, how did he know? You look around, he was talking to somebody I know. And right? We all have that. He speaks of something that really hits me. Thank you. You know, good, good. Well, look, write it down. Apply it. Because you know what's in the parking lot? In fact, I think I can see him behind that tree, over there behind the car, or maybe on the way home, or somewhere. For those on the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil to take the word out of their hearts. Least they believe them be saved. Here's another thing. I challenge you to do this. The preacher preaches, and then by that night, I want you to ask her and say, what did the preacher talk about? And too many times, we haven't got a clue. We got up in the morning, we could be playing golf. Hello? I mean, if you're a surfer, we could be with a double island point. You know, and ooh. But no, we decided to come over here, and we need to believe that God has something to say to us. For those on the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil to take the word out of their hearts, at least they believe them be saved. By the way, young man, I won't be that long. Don't be real frustrated. He's sitting there like, who's this guy? Who brought this yank over here? You know, I want to hear an Aussie. This guy can't even say fair dinkum. Okay. Point number one, the devil's not an atheist. Next time you talk to an atheist, says, you know, by the way, the devil's not an atheist. Here's another point I got this morning. You know that the devil is consistent? Christians are not consistent, but the devil's consistent. He wants to kill you. His plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. Every day while you're asleep, he wants to create havoc. He wants to destroy. He wants to make you unhappy. And you know what hurts my feelings? It isn't because he doesn't like me. It's because he don't like Jesus. And Jesus loves me. So like the mafia. Hey, it ain't personal. So it's not even personal. So the devil's consistent while sometimes Christians are not consistent. Here's another one. You know that the devil is more obedient than Christians? Do you know that? That the devil sometimes is more obedient than Christian, because remember those two guys that were demon possessed? And the demon said, cast us into the pigs? Well, I had a red letter edition. And in the red letter edition, it looked like Jesus only talked in red. And so there's a lot of black. And then the only word that Jesus said in it was go. What did Jesus say to the devils? Go. And the devils went. We were told to go in Matthew 28, but Christians don't go. The devil's more obedient than Christians. We need to go. And what I mean by go, I don't mean to go to America, because I've come from there. Just go outside and make friends with people. And when you're in the lawn bowling club, go in there and develop relationships and try to get these folk saved. The other one I notice is the devil fears God. The devil fears God. Christians have lost the fear of God, but the devil fear God. What is it? The devil went to these people and said, how come you come to harass us before our time? The devil fear God. And here's another one. The devil talks to God. And Christians don't pray. They don't talk to God, but the devil talks to God. He's always talking to God, trying to create a problem. And then remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, what did the devil know? The devil knows the Bible. The devil used the Bible to challenge Jesus. And the devil knows the Bible more than Christians. You need to know the Word of God. Well, look, I'm going to close with that. I see a lot of eyes getting heavy. Thank you for allowing me to get up there and sharing my insanity. People say I'm mad, but I'm mad about Jesus. And just pray for me as I go on the street and witness. And pray for me in April when we go out there and share the gospel. See, God knew that I don't have the money to go to 21. Was it 27? Huh? 21. God knows I don't have the money to go to 21 nations. So what does he do? God sent them to me. Thank you, Father. Right? So pray as we go and share the gospel. We're associated with Bill Newman, with Billy Graham, and with anybody. You wouldn't realize what I tolerate. Sometimes Christians are saved, but they're nuts. I have a theology. It's called Christians Are Saved, but they're out of their mind. The stuff they come up with. The gospel we need is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Live in there. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for just the privilege of being able to know you as my personal Savior. I thank you for the privilege that I have the privilege and honor to be able to share the gospel with those that are lost. God, I pray that I would continue to live in the reality and not live in denial that souls are damned and they're going to go to hell. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not enough, Father, that we live the Christian life. We need to say something. And it's not enough to speak the Christian life. We got to live it. Thank you, Father, for this privilege. I pray for this body of a community of believers that you would enrich them, you'd encourage them, and Father God, that they would seek to follow you and give you the glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.